Blog Talk Radio.
Thanks for tuning in to Unscripted, presented by Be Unique Magazine, because an authentic life is unscripted. Be Unique is a 501c3 charity that works today to change tomorrow. Learn more at our website, beunique.org. That's BUNEKE.org. Did you know that Be Unique is a free, non-profit publication? We work today to change tomorrow by bringing you truly amazing guests like the one we'll introduce tonight, and by highlighting stories about people all over the world who will astound you. The free digital version is available 24/7 at beunique.org. That's BUNEKE.org.
Welcome to our show, everybody. My name is Mary Brotherton. I am your host on Be Unique Unscripted. My co-host Jennifer East is here with me, and I cannot wait to tell you who's here on the show as our guest. I know Anna said that we were going to introduce some astounding people like the one we have tonight, but tonight we have a twofer. And the reason I think that they are so astounding is because I don't think they knew until about 20 or 30 minutes ago they were even going to be on the show. We had a guest scheduled who could not make it, and so Jennifer reached out to Royce and Amari Ashcroft, and I'll let them give you all of the good stuff about the other parts of their names, but I just want to say thank you first to both of you for jumping in here and saying yes to this. You have been working as volunteers for Be Unique for several months, maybe a year, I'm not even sure. But it just seems like every time I meet you, it's like going back into old school day. Welcome, Amari and Royce.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So tell our listeners a little bit about who you are, and then we'll talk some about what you do.
Well,
Royce, you go first.
Okay. So I was born on a very cold winter night, November 4th, 1992.
Gosh.
There was so much storm and a lot of traffic that night.
You can hear Amari's eyes rolling.
Hold on. She made it and got me home safely. And then 27 years later, I ended up on this show today.
Woohoo!
That's pretty much me in a nutshell.
Wow.
You know what, folks? Royce left out one very key element. It's a three-letter word called ham. He doesn't eat it, but he is one. So, Amari, you fill in the gaps for us a little bit here.
Well, Royce is obviously the comedic relief. And then I'm the pretty smile. That's my half, my role in our relationship. But the two of us are pretty much a pair of vegans that just want to spread love and light everywhere we go and educate people about the movement. I'm a runway model, and Royce is a game show host. We also MC events and have a lot of different talents, so we just really make a good team for having fun wherever we go and spreading a lot of positivity. And we really enjoy doing that. So we're super grateful to find a bunch of different platforms, including Be Unique, that lets us kind of show the world what we got.
Well, I'll tell you what, as far as I'm concerned, and, you know, I am like Mrs. Be Unique. Well, what am I? Lynn calls me the Be Unique Mama Bear. We are all grateful that you guys came into our life because you do spread love and light, and you're very kind and compassionate. And I don't think I have ever once, I joked about you rolling your eyes at Royce, but I don't think I've ever seen the two of you in anything less than kind and loving energy. And I've seen you in a lot of different situations where maybe things weren't going exactly like you want, but you never let on that things weren't perfect. And I appreciate that about your persona.
Hey,
thank
you. We're out there just pushing love and light, you know, towards everybody and everything. And honestly, that's kind of, that is the foundation of who we are, first and foremost. You know, we like to tell people that, yeah, you know, we're that really cool power couple, vegan, melanated folks, but, you know, at the end of the day, like, our message, it's just love. Love everybody. Have that same love for everything and everything you do, and be passionate about what you do. Just really, really operating on the love frequency. So, I'm glad. I'm glad. It's nice to see other people understand what we're trying to put out there. You know, that makes us feel good. That, you know, we already feel good, but it does bring like a sense of cool. Other people get it too. So we appreciate y'all for being there for us. Just, you know.
Thank you. You're welcome. And I was going to ask Jennifer, she wanted to explain a little bit about what we do at Be Unique and why we're a good match for you.
You're
you
putting
like
that on
that
me.
I can take
you
it.
You are so funny. No, I'm gonna tell our audience what I actually we filmed a documentary the last 2 days, and if you don't really know what goes into filming a documentary, my brain has been on overload for probably the past week, and then when you actually get to the point of starting the documentary, and I was directing, I basically came up with the concept, and then trying to get my vision through, you know, through the last 2 days. So, and when you're directing, it's like the project falls on your shoulders. So basically I'm on probably, you know, if you were looking at a battery, I'm on the bottom red section of the battery because there's just not a whole lot of brain. So I was hoping I was coming for cheerleading and saying, but I would love for Mary to do that for me. Because I feel like
I will take.
I feel like I will just
that.
Bumble it.
Thank you.
Well,
I want to say about this documentary, people, you know, you mentioned if you don't know what goes on behind the scenes, if you want to go to Facebook and find Be Unique Magazine, we captured as much as we could some behind the scenes pictures and commented on them, and to give you some idea. But even that doesn't give you a tenth of what it was, because we were there before sunrise and we stayed until after sunset. So that's at least 12 hours both days. And it was freezing cold for Florida. We Florida natives don't do too well in the cold stuff. But Jennifer never once stopped. It was... we had food there, and we had to constantly say to Jennifer and our other photographers, please eat, or here, let me feed you. Would you like for me to put this in your mouth now? So I don't fault her at all. Anyone who doesn't know what Be Unique is, you can find out more information at beunique.org, B-U-N-E-K-E.org. We are a nonprofit organization, and we highlight other nonprofits. And that's why we do documentaries about places like we're working on right now. And that's how we got involved with working with Amari and Royce. They did something with us called Coffee or Tea, No Phones Allowed, which was really cool. But I want to go backwards because I feel like I just monopolized the show just now for some reason. I want to talk about NOR 17. Who knows anything about that?
Meow.
Was that a cat?
That was sometimes I like to do little random cat noises, you know. That don't mind any of that, but you know, I heard that a beautiful wife of mine, Amari, knows a lot about Noor 17.
Well, Noor is an Arabic word, correct?
Yeah, Noor means light in Arabic. And, you know, we chose Arabic as the language that we wanted to, you know, use to be able to describe this organization that we were creating, because Arabic is now used by the modern day Egyptians, but we get a lot of our information, a lot of the ways, our philosophy, this kind of the way Amari and I operate on a day to day from the ancient Egyptians or Kunic. So they had a very high, primarily vegetarian, vegan lifestyle. You know, they did a lot of meditation. They had a lot of different knowledge with, like, just a lot of different esoteric knowledge. So that's why we, chose the Arabic language, and Noor means light. Then the 17 in Noor has it's 17 is Amari and I's signature number. I don't know, have y'all ever heard of something called English gematria?
No.
I don't know that I've heard it called that. Is that similar to sacred geometry?
Yeah, okay, so English gematria is a form of sacred geometry, a form of numerology that pretty much equates numerical value to, in this case, the English alphabet, but there's also, like, you have Italian gematria, French gematria, Spanish gematria, just different languages have a gematria, and it's pretty much ways to find hidden meanings or, like, secret messages in a lot of things, like, in the world and society, particularly in religion and politics. But you can use it, like, in a day-to-day. So a lot of people with that, for those who like to connect to their higher being source, it's a very easy way, if you're open to it, for them, you know, to kind of connect with you. So if you spell out my name using gematria, R-O-Y-C-E, it equals 17. And then if you spell out Amari, I-M-A-R-I, hers also equals 17. And her and I, we were also born 17 days apart. She also, went vegan 17 days after we met, and there's just a lot of significance behind number 17 that plays into our relationship. In a way it feels coincidental, but for us, nothing is.
I
want to
interject for
so.
1 second, and then Royce, I'm going to let you finish telling the story, but just like more fun facts on how you and I are aligned, and it's just hilarious. So with 17, Royce, like most addresses for a house have 3, maybe 4 or 5 digits in it. But Royce's house where he grew up in Tallahassee, where he's from, the house number is just 17. That's it. And then in my old neighborhood where I grew up, as soon as you turn into the development to, like, get to my house, it's on that first road, the street name is Ayers, and that's Royce's middle name.
No kidding.
No way.
Yeah, I think it's so funny.
Her mom thinks it's funny, but her and I, it's finding these little things that just kind of make you go like, ah, yes, okay, this is realer than real. It's more real than even, like, my physical body that's here right now. So, yeah, I'm going to, this feels good. I'm going to go with it. So that's like, I don't know, it just makes
I like
it
to
easy.
Say we're aligned and intertwined.
Hey, I've never heard you say that before, but I like
it. That's a good way for newlyweds to be.
I agree.
And my wish for you is that you feel exactly the way you do tonight in 75 years.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we'll feel even better. Like, I don't know, whenever.
You're right, Royce.
Whenever
it does
first met
get
Amari,
better.
Yeah. Whenever we first met, I already knew it was going to be great. And I knew that there would be different agreements. Okay, I didn't know to the level that I know today. But looking back, I knew that there were certain things I'd have to let go of to be able to make sure that the relationship, you know, stayed healthy and communication flowed and things like that. So every day it gets a little bit easier and easier and easier to communicate. So by the time we're 75, I don't know if Amari and I will actually still be using words or if we'll just be speaking to each other telepathically and just kind of everybody else, you know, is going to have to kind of catch up because it's pretty cool.
Well, I can tell you that for me and my husband, we don't always talk in English, and Jennifer has witnessed that, and I think I've seen her and her husband speak without words. You do, after a while, you get to where you understand body language, and you know, like I said, I heard Amari's eyes rolling. You'll be able to see that through the wall when you're older. and because you, I think that's why you and I connected, Royce, because you're the class clown, and I always have been as well. And it was interesting when Jennifer and I were at the most recent Spirit Fest, I introduced myself to someone as the company clown. And the poor man, I felt really sad for him. He put his arm, you know, put his hand on my shoulder, and he patted me softly. He says, "Oh, please don't say that about yourself. Don't discount yourself that way." And I said, "Oh, no, 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 you don't understand. A clown is a good thing in my world." I said, "I like
makes
clowns.
Everybody happy.
They make people smile."
So that means I'm like Mari in our relationship, Mary.
Yes,
so I have
are.
A beautiful smile, and I am the runway model.
You do stand out
like
with
that.
Your very colorful hair. So
that's right.
Both of y'all do.
And every now and then she'll roll her eyes at me. Jennifer and I are like the old married couple of Be Unique, and we haven't been together that
that's
long.
That's right.
Hey, I like it, but both of y'all be holding it down because even the project that, you know, we were working on today, whenever, you know, Jennifer said, okay, well, let's call Mary real quick and, you know, get her to do these things. In the back of my head, okay, so I had like two parts that were, you know, like giving me orders. One half of me was saying, just go with it. It's fine. Mary's going to write such a great thing. And then the other half was saying, no, you know, you have to write it. It'll be... you know, you need to write it. It's your words, whatever. But just kind of, you know, the whole art of allowing and just kind of letting things happen and letting, you know, the universe take care of things for you. Whenever we actually got
I feel
like your
I
email,
I was that other half.
Things, you were that other half of which.
Yeah,
half?
I was the one that was like, we have to write it because it's personal. And then we're like, Mary literally is
right. Great
at doing this. This is what she does.
Yeah,
so
and it was
how,
like
how
right on.
It
was perfect.
Was
oh,
I okay?
It was beautiful. It was excellent. It made
well,
it
you know
very
what I
want to
do right now?
I'm
going to actually, since I don't have, you know, you guys recorded it for us, but I'm going to read the one that I think needs to be read right now, and because I want our listeners to know what's going on, because we really have only touched briefly on what you guys do. So, without further ado, NOR17 presents the 2019 International Vegan Show on December 14th. This fashion show is 100% vegan. From the venue owners to the models, the food we serve, and even the fashion, everything is based on an animal-free, cruelty-free way of living with kindness and compassion. Taking place at KDS1 Studios in Orlando. Admission, the day of the event, starts at $30. If you hurry, you can still get the early bird pricing through Eventbrite. Just look for NOR17 or visit the website for more details. That's NOORXIIvegan.com. How'd I do?
That was great.
I
the
hope,
website
I hope somebody
is
get it.
NORXVII. So it's the Roman numeral.
Oh, yes, it is
17.
XVII. I hope y'all fixed that when you recorded it. Okay.
Oh, yeah, we got it.
Thank you, Amari.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. You're very welcome. So tell us a little bit about that.
Go ahead and, Mary, go ahead and make sure that everybody's real clear. Do it really slow, the website, so that people know where to go.
That's NOOR, capital X, capital V. I guess, I don't know if it has to be capital or not. Let me start over. NOOR, X, V, as in Victor, I, vegan.com. And they've used you know, the Roman numerals, XVII. So if you type in NOR17, you may not find it. So you want to make sure that you do the XVII, vegan.com.
Yes.
Thank you.
Amari, you're the runway model. So tell me, I like the way you said that. Tell me a little bit about vegan fashion. What does that mean for you as a model? What kind of clothing what do vegans wear? Leaves? Stalks of grass?
I prefer to go nude, actually, but not everyone finds that appropriate, so I'm all good with all natural, but not everyone is quite on that level yet, so I respect people's right to decide on if they want to free the nipple or not. But for me, like, as far as being vegan and being a model, it is about the clothes, but it's also other things, too, that I didn't really think about prior to modeling or prior to being vegan, which kind of, like, all happened at the same time. But something that happened in the short term is that I actually was going to be a candidate for Miss Florida, and I was working on raising the funds. I had a GoFundMe and everything to raise the funds so I could go compete, and I didn't actually raise all the funds, so I didn't compete, but when I was being prepped for it, I was being advised that my being vegan was going to be a very important position as far as this platform. Because they have things, for example, like a 3-course meal at some point, but are they considering the candidate there that may be vegan? Probably not, maybe not, because no one's stepping up and vocalizing that. Some of the models might think that things like fur or silk or leather are beautiful, and there is a mindset from people that do still find those things beautiful. Exactly. It's their skin. So it's beautiful on them, but us wearing it, it's kind of like, what was that serial killer that, like, made a face? Or, like, he wore people's skin? Jack Ripper, maybe? What did you say, Royce?
I'd said Royce Ashcroft.
No, that's totally not vegan. But there is a serial killer. I believe that it's actual, but it could be like one of those from a scary movie. But basically, he murders his victims and then, like, he wears their skin. And it's creepy and it's gross. It's equally as creepy and equally as gross when it's the skin of an animal.
His name is Ed Gein, G-E-I-N. He was known as the Butcher of Plainfield. Or the Plainfield Ghoul. He was a convicted murderer and body snatcher. And he served as inspiration for a lot of fictional serial killers across different areas.
Mm-hmm.
But he did make a mask, or one mask out of dead skin. He was from Wisconsin. He was a farmer. And I remember that was back in the 50s, before.
And everyone was sick and appalled by that because it was human skin. But, you know, realistically, it's just as gross when you're wearing the skin of a dead animal. Like, it's also sad and horrific, all the things they have to go through just for that vanity that people have. But it's like, if you think about it, it's disgusting to walk around wearing the skin of something else, especially if we're so smart and advanced as humans that we can make our own clothes. Like, Royce and I actually went to go grab lunch today downtown at a place called Craft and Common. They have a really awesome vegan breakfast sandwich that we love. So we decided to go in there. But in order to get there where we usually park, we walk by the LaBelle Fur. I guess it's a studio or a shop, or maybe a boutique is the word I'm looking for. But basically they sell furs, like real furs, in the middle of downtown Orlando, Florida. And, like, it makes no sense to me that at this point in time, in 2019, and when some states are starting to actually ban the use of fur, that
I read that California has
that find that acceptable.
Well, you know, I read that California has banned it. And I find it interesting that it's being sold in Florida, of all places,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, on a really cold day, it might be 30 degrees. It's not like
it makes no sense.
You know, we're
we
we're
went
not
to a fashion show last year where they're actually, I think it was the opening, but at some point in the fashion show, there was a display of fur. And I was told they were real furs, and then I was told that they weren't real furs. So I'm really unclear on it. But all I remember thinking was, why in August or whatever month it was, in the middle of Florida, are we showcasing these things like it's something that anyone in this audience would need? It's literally just because you think it's cool or stylish. It's not for comfort, warmth, or survival at this point. It's just that old programming that these things that we're doing to animals is okay. And, like, so I can feel myself getting passionate about talking about this because it's related to veganism. So Nor is super important because we bring people into these spaces and we have these vegan events where everyone is open and they get to know each other. And we have similar conversations to these sometimes where people just start talking about morals and ethics and just make you take a step back and look at things differently than you did before you ever considered an animal also being as equally sentient as you and as equally important and valuable. But when people come to our events, they're having so much fun that they're comfortable enough to address all these issues and just have a really great time. And it's safe, a safe and fun space. I really love that element of what we do, whether it be a fashion show or a barbecue or skate night, like whatever it is, it's always a good time. And there's always that communication going on.
Now, you did say skate as in roller skates, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I wanted to make sure you weren't saying steak as in sirloin.
Oh, no. Absolutely not. No.
So I have a question. So if our audience members were out, they're not sure, this is a new concept to them, so they've never heard about it at all. And I feel like it would be awesome to have like an explanation, you know, because a lot of times people think of veganism as a cult. I've heard it over and over. It just makes me smile because it's like there's still a lot of people that just don't really understand. So if for someone who is just completely brand new to that whole concept, what is your elevator pitch? What do you say to people to help them understand why you're passionate about it, and where can they find out more information? Do you actually have, like, if they were to go to your website, do you have information about the whole lifestyle, or is that something that you would have to learn coming to one of your events?
Well, an elevator pitch about veganism is I usually just tell people my testimony, kind of, you know, let them, you know, just tell them that I started off going vegan for meditation purposes. It was literally just to get better at lucid dreaming and astral projection. This was at the started whenever I was like 22, and it just kind of went from there. As I, you know, Law of Attraction talks a lot about, you know, as within, so without, as above, so below, you know, that whole nine yards. So if you're, you know, if somebody's really wanting to become like the most centered, balanced person that they're wanting to be. You know, if you're looking at all the influences around you, including the things that you watch on television, you know, is that programming that you're putting in, helping you or is it hurting you? Same thing with the people that's around you. Are they helping you or are they hurting you? And same thing with the food. Is it helping you or is it hurting you? You can take it even more further if that food is hurting others. But, you know, we'll just stick to the self first. Like, you know, if you look at pretty much any of your animal products, the ones that, you know, your animal products have the highest amounts of saturated fat, cholesterol, they're literally linked to 14 out of the 15 top reasons why human beings die, you know, coronary heart disease, diabetes, you know, a lot of these things are all linked to, you know, eating animals and animal products. So it started off with, you know, just kind of getting a better balance of self with me first and foremost, and then I learned more about the animal agriculture industry, the health benefits, and, you know, even just, you know, the health behind it as well, too. If somebody wants to learn more about going vegan, our website is currently not the place to go and do that at right now. It just tells you a lot about North 17 and how to find, you know, where we are, even though that is a really good point to add some info on there. But there is a great website that I like to reference people to called vegan22.com. It gives you a 22 days of tips, tricks, and recipes on how to effectively live a vegan lifestyle. And after the 22 days, you assess how you feel, you assess your mind, your body, your spirit, and if it's feeling better, then, you know, it, of course, encourages you to keep on going, because why would you want to go back to not feeling as good, or if for whatever reason it didn't work? There's some other things, you know, we probably need to address at that point, but, you know, for the most part, it's there to, you know, just kind of help give people a little bit more information about how to easily try vegan.
Hey, I've got a question.
And tell me what was the website one more time? I'm sorry.
That website is called vegan22.com.
Okay, wonderful.
And
vegan,
is it just vegan22.com?
Vegan22?
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Vegan22.
Okay. I hear a lot on the news and on social media about plant-based diets and plant-based living. Could one of you explain how that is different from being a vegan?
Oh yeah,
I feel
Sipar,
like,
do you want to handle that?
Yes. I feel like plant-based could be just like fairly no conflict behind it, but it treads a very thin line. Because to me, if I just heard plant-based, I would assume that that person was vegan, meaning that they eat vegan food and they practice a vegan diet. Where the distinguishment comes through of people getting to the argument if you're really vegan is if your morals and ethics align with that diet as well, as opposed to just not consuming animals, whether it be for health or the environment or even the animals, but then maybe you have leather shoes or a leather bag or something. Like, you still wear animals or you still eat honey sometimes. If you're a vegan and some people take that label very seriously, that means that it can be assumed that you need to be perfect, which is why people are deterred from accepting the label vegan, some of them, because they don't want to be attacked by what people call the vegan police, who want you to be 100% perfect. But that's people everywhere, anywhere in life, practicing anything. There's always going to be somebody in the corner shouting that you're not doing well enough. And I feel like it's really up to you and how seriously you take the welfare of animals, because they're also other sentient beings, then you're vegan. If you're doing everything in your power that you can as an individual to align with those values and take care of those animals and care for them and love them, then you're vegan. But if you just don't like pork, so you're plant-based, but you would go out and buy a leather shoe, or you advocate someone else hunting, or you yourself don't eat animals, but you're okay with other people eating animals, then you probably wouldn't get, you know, the vegan stamp of approval.
Okay, okay.
Interesting. Well, you know something, Mary, there is an article in Be Unique that talks about the shaming. Michelle Schaefer wrote?
Yeah, Michelle's our resident vegan writer. And she did an article, I think it was in issue 13, about body shaming and how some vegans think if someone is not shaped like Amari, you know, everybody has a different body shape and a body size, and there are some chubby vegans out there. Because a lot of the food that is vegan is not necessarily also good for you. I mean, Oreos are vegan, but you can't live on Oreos for the rest of your life. But,
you can try, and then you can make a YouTube video about how you got sick and you couldn't be vegan anymore.
Interesting.
What?
Michelle also is right. She did an article that's coming out in the issue 14, which should come out later this week or early next week, talking about you guys. But she's also doing another one that is talking about how when she became a vegan, she was the first vegan she'd ever met. And she mentions how this was a few years ago. And a lot of the resources that are available today were not available. So she didn't know how to be a healthy vegan.
Yeah.
And in her mind, you know, cigarettes were vegan because they didn't come from animals. So she would smoke to fill up that hole in her body.
Wow.
But,
See, I'm not one to do the whole body shaming thing. Say, you know, somebody, you know, is a little bit larger and like, oh, you know, see, if you went vegan, you wouldn't have that problem because, like,
it's
Amari
not true.
And I, it's not true. And that's one of the beauties behind the International Vegan Fashion Show is that you want to see people of all shapes and sizes, you know, living a vegan lifestyle to kind of break that stereotype that all vegans look like this. Like, no, we got a lot of vegans. We got skinny vegans. We got, you know, big vegans. We got muscular vegans. We got, you know, we got vegans of all types. So, now, I have people in my family who will come out to me and, you know, they will talk about some of their different health issues that would be reversed if they would consider even, you know, trying or if they would just do a vegan lifestyle. You know, there's other people who have gotten rid of, or at least gotten their medications down and reversed certain things by switching to that lifestyle. But, you know, some of the family members, they're the toughest ones to get to. You know, we can go out and have all these different events and, you know, meet all these wonderful people and people who, you know, have even never really heard of veganism before, but are now gung-ho about it because they, you know, had a conversation about it with us, and then we meet our family members, and they're just kind of in direct opposition, but it's like, this is the thing that's going to help you. You know how you're always complaining about, you know, everything?
Rich, you had made a point about how we have models of all different shapes and sizes on the runway and like how that's important for representation. Like as far as what does a vegan look like? I think that obviously we know that was very super important to us, but a beautiful part of the fashion show and that international part is that we also have models from all different parts of the world, like different ethnicities and backgrounds. Mm. Some of our models were actually born at the place that their heritage is from. Like, And it's amazing because all of these people have different stories and they're all connected by that idea of living a vegan lifestyle is the best thing that we can do for ourselves, for the animals, and for the planet. It's a really beautiful thing to see that all represented, because I've heard, I don't feel this way, but I've heard that people can sometimes assume that veganism is a privileged thing as far as like race, like saying it's something mm-hmm. that white people can afford to do, but like nobody
what?
Else can. And yeah,
oh, yeah.
There's
yeah.
an
we've
idea.
Done that quite a bit.
There,
do they not
there
know
are,
how much meat costs?
That's
know,
what we're that's what we tell true. Them. Rice and beans is a
that's,
lot less expensive.
Yeah, like there's the government right now is making it very easy and affordable for you to get these different meat, dairy, eggs, and fish. Okay, all of that stuff is subsidized. All right, because
yeah.
the current structure right now has it where they don't want the farmers to fail. That's a multi-billion-dollar industry. So it's just the way it was. So that's where the money's going to. But Amari and I were hoping to help lead that push to make being vegan more mainstream, where it's just more common. And it's like, no, we need to start funding these plant-based foods, so that way money can go there. And then we'll see how expensive it is to be vegan after.
Our t-shirts that we have for North 17, they say, "Are you vegan yet?" Like, because it's time already.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's a conversation starter of like, are you vegan yet? No? Okay, why not? And then a conversation. Like, it's just like doing outreach at something like a Cube of Truth, but one-on-one in real time, like helping somebody
yeah.
just think about something and think about animal agriculture in a way that they've never really stopped to think about, because their perspective has always been the same, that it's okay and it's normal. That's how they were raised. And now when you present that new idea to them, it's like, what do you mean? And sometimes they feel like maybe you're insinuating that they're a bad person, which is called cognitive dissonance. Like, I'm not a bad person. I wouldn't mm-hmm. do these things. I care about animals. But they just, when you start asking them these questions and really letting them answer it for themselves, they start to realize they don't have answers. And then they have to really assess the situation, and usually their perspective will change because someone brought it to their attention.
And that's
well,
what
know,
education
I always,
is
I
all
come,
about.
Well, you always come back to the, you don't know what you don't know. So it's like, you can't blame somebody if they – there's two things, honestly. It's like you have to take the responsibility and actually want to learn about something and dive into it and talk to people that know about a subject. And if you just live your life with blinders on the rest and you just think, oh, I'm just going to continue living the way I've been living. I lived this way since I was a kid. This is how my parents live, whatever. If you don't start changing with the times, we're going to get to the point where we're not going to be able to feed the people that are here on the earth. When you start really learning about it, and I can honestly attest to this, that I felt like I was in the dark. And it was my daughter who actually started the vegan lifestyle way before all of this. I mean, before I was part of Be Unique and everything, and meeting awesome people like you. And it was a kind of a mind-blowing concept at first. And then I was like, the first thing you always think, oh, well, do you get enough protein? Because that's what everybody says. you can't live because that's the only source of protein, is animal products. That's you are just, I don't know why that is just like so strong, because
excellent
when I found
marketing.
Out, I'm sorry, Bryce?
It was excellent marketing on their part.
Yes.
Exactly. And it also goes back to that subsidization.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The government makes it easy for people to think that that's the thing to do.
Even the pyramid.
Yeah.
Remember, Mary and I are
yes.
She's a little bit older, but the food pyramid. They have that was. I remember in second grade learning about the food pyramid, and you you felt like that was like the Bible of eating, and.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
such a farce.
Really,
it's so sad.
It
and,
hurts.
I'm so glad I never ever stick to that to begin with. So I had nothing. I didn't have to unlearn that.
But Amari, because like you're both millennials. Did you have the food pyramid in school?
I remember seeing it in health class, probably in like middle school.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember. So throughout like my school career, that's whenever there's heavy revisions going on with it all the time. They're like, okay, well now you need to have this many degrees. Okay, let's this, add this. So it was pretty confusing, but that's one of the great reasons why I like the vegan lifestyle, because it does make it easier. There's a lot of different vegan doctors out there, and a lot of sources that will show you if you are, you know, if you are afraid that you're not going to get enough protein or vitamin A, C, E, K, B12, whatever it is. There are different apps like Chronometer or NutritionFacts.org that literally allow you to punch in exactly what you're eating, however many servings, and it will tell you, like, great, this is, you know, where you're at for the day. This is what you need a little bit more of, or maybe you could be doing a little bit less of this. It's getting a lot more simple, you know, just.
I love the app idea.
I think it's just a great lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Let's make sure that we get the app information in their description, Mary, because I think that would be a really helpful thing.
If you can email me anything like that, and I'll put it in the description for people when they come back and listen to this later, because people will. And I have to jump in here real quick and say, I want to go back to something Royce had said a little while ago about his family. I would urge you to have your family go to BeUnique.org and look at issue 7. That's the one that was all about the young children who are doing amazing things. We covered an article on a young lady named Haley Thomas. She and her entire family became vegan because her father was diagnosed with diabetes, and he didn't want to start taking insulin shots. And Haley, at the time, I think she was 9 or 10 years old. She's only 17 or 18 now. But she did the research and found recipes and food to feed her father so that he could not go on medication. He does not have diabetes now, and she's now teaching children in impoverished areas how to live a vegan lifestyle.
Wow.
And
nice.
So you can probably find something useful like that in every issue of Be Unique. But that story is one that really hit me really close to home, because I've got people in my family that are diabetic, and you think they're going to change their diet? No. It's very difficult to get them to realize that they should.
Excuse me, I understand. You know, a lot of my family, some of them get it. Some of them do get it, and they want to do it, but it's just, like you said, it's very difficult for them, because they've been doing it for so long, and it's just hard for them. But then there's others that are just stubborn, and like it, you know, I know that they'll come and ask for help whenever like their health depends on it. And, you know, it's unfortunate to say, but that's already kind of happened with some, where it's like, oh, now I have to go vegan, so I guess I'll do it now, and I'll embrace it now that, you know, it's literally life or death.
Yeah.
Like, all right, well, either way, we'll still help you.
We prefer to do preventative maintenance than crowd. What is it when something goes bad? Something control.
Well, you can have preventative maintenance, or you can have a repair.
That works. So
yeah,
we basically want to stop the fire from happening, rather than have to put the fire out, especially
exactly
in cases where. Because unfortunately, this has happened as well, where someone gets better, they ask for help, we give the help, they get better, and then after they get better, they're like, okay, I'm better now, I'm going to go back to what I was going to
do.
So it's upsetting whenever that happens in general, but what was very disappointing for me was in one of the instances, it wasn't just the person saying, oh, I'm better now, I'm going to go back. It was the doctor saying, you may now reintroduce chicken, you may now reintroduce fish. And it's like, you literally told this person to avoid these things to prevent their cancer from coming back, that you just took out and did radiation for and chemotherapy, that it's now okay because you're in the clear and we got out all the bad cells to reintroduce these things. That made me very upset. I felt like it was the epitome of everything I know is a lie, but like, really?
That's really sad.
This particular person, we still encourage, you know, to be vegan because, like, that's our life's purpose, you know? So based on, like, us wanting everyone to be better, but also specifically for this person and for their healing, we still encourage them to eat vegan, and they're just like, nope, I need my fish, I need my chicken. After they went months, at least probably 4 months, 3 or 4 months without having it because it was life or death. Now they're back to that mentality of I need it, I want it, and my doctor said it's okay, so this is okay now.
Unbelievable.
You know, it kind of honestly feels that, you know, that her doctor in that case didn't really is not really about the whole entire well-being, but just good enough to make sure, you know, they could still come around and, you know, make sure that they're still getting paid because, you know, at the end of the day, our system right now is set up to, you know, not really make sure that you're healthy, but rather, you know, makes money off of the diseases that, you know, they get to cure, which...
And we do have to keep in mind also that not all doctors are nutritionists or know about nutrition. They're for putting out fires, not for preventing fire. So someone's not looking for holistic ways or natural ways to keep their health up in the first place, and then they're adding in junk on top of that. The doctor's just like, oh, well, we see this is going on. Let me give you this to stop that. But it may cause this, and then it's just like a rat race. Like, once you're in, you're in.
Well, don't you agree, too, when you start learning about the holistic way of taking care of yourself, it does take time, and a lot of people don't, they just want an instant fix, and it's basically a Band-Aid. It's not organically fixing you. It's just putting a Band-Aid on something and giving you symptoms. A lot of times if you listen to even one commercial on TV that's talking about a certain kind of drug, and then you hear at the very end the really fast, paragraph that someone reads super fast and very quiet of all the side effects they're going to go through if you try this natural drug. I'm sorry?
Sometimes they'll at the very, very end, they'll say, including death or suicide.
Right.
Yeah.
But we're so focused in looking at the imagery of the commercial. We don't really hear because we tuned it out. Mm-hmm. We don't want to know that they're going to be. And something, it's really funny, two things. One is that the last time I was at the doctor, that my poor doctor, well, I shouldn't say poor, but she knows as soon as she comes in and if she says, well, I really have something that's going to help you, blah, 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 because I'm going through a lot of hormonal things. I've got the major hot flashes and all that stuff. And they always want to offer me these drugs. And the first thing out of my mouth is, okay, tell me what the side effects are and what is it going to do to me? And, you know, she always comes back around after she goes through something. She goes, you know what? I really want you to try this supplement. Let's go this route first. Because she knows, I'm just not going to accept putting that stuff in my body. I have no idea what it is. And and I don't know what it's going to do to me. And the thing is that I know, like even like Mary said, I need to go talk to a herbalist because she went through and talked to a Chinese herbalist and it was organic and it fixed her. You know, it didn't give her side effects within the certain period of time. It was
turned my hair
right
green.
Right now on something, turned your hair green.
My hair dye is vegan.
Her hair dye is vegan. You can eat her hair dye, even though, But that's that kind of thing. And so what I love is that, like, even all on the topic that you're talking about, is that here you've got this person and they basically were healed and they were safe in the safe zone and everything was looking great. And then why would you think to yourself, oh, then I'll just go back to my same old lifestyle and start all over again? You know, I mean, that just doesn't
because
even make
it was,
any sense.
Because they did not embrace the lifestyle.
They didn't.
They were plant-based.
Diet. Instead of a vegan lifestyle.
Ooh, and see, yep. You just tied it all up because that is the key, is that you know, when you have that mind shift, because, like, the idea of right now, even, you know, because I've been practicing it now for quite a while, and it's like, and people, I get what you guys are coming from, because people get, I had a difficult Thanksgiving this year, and I won't go into it because it's a long story, and sometime maybe we'll talk about that because we're getting close to the end of the show, but I didn't know that my mind has changed. My body's changed. Oh, my mind has changed. My philosophy
your whole
has changed.
My has changed.
The whole idea of partaking and eating something that was once alive and then eating, I just like, ugh, I just can't. It just makes me, I can't gag. I just can't do it anymore.
Well,
it's like my mind has switched.
Yeah.
Earlier, Amari talked about wearing leather and, you know, shoes and boots and whatnot. I'm at a crossroads in my life because there are so many different things because of Be Unique. I've learned different things that are out there. One of the dressier pairs of shoes that I own is made from recycled plastic bottles because I'll give them a free commercial right here. Rothy's, rothys.com. I'd love to have them advertise with us because they fit into my thinking about the plastic waste. And what I love about it is you can throw these shoes in the washing machine and just wash them. They feel like cloth, but they if they wear out, I can send them back and they'll recycle them again into more shoes.
Oh, wow.
I don't think I get a rebate
awesome.
Or anything like that. But, there's so many options out there. And I want to just jump in here real quick. We had talked before the show started about how Be Unique Unscripted now has its own channel. I want to give a big shout out and thank you to Yvonne Mason. She's one of our board members. She's one of our writers. She's one of our bigger donors and a phenomenal mentor. She got us started on her podcast, which is called Off the Chain, Yvonne Mason Off the Chain. It's also on Blog Talk Radio. But since we've grown so much and we've attracted three sponsors who are sponsoring this show right here, The Little Green Oasis, Elisa Kaler, and the Brawner House Museum. Because Be Unique is a 501c3 charity that highlights other nonprofits and world changers, they have gravitated toward us. They're all, now the Brawner House Museum is a nonprofit also, but the Little Green Oasis is an organic aromatherapy woman-owned company, for-profit, who gives us a portion every month. And Elisa Kaler, she's a psychic and spiritual healer. And then I mentioned the Brawner House. I want to do real quick, I feel like I'm running out of time. I want to make sure that I mention the 2019 International Vegan Show one last time before we go to our final little commercial. And I want everybody to learn how much fun a 100% vegan fashion show can be. Tickets are on sale at Eventbrite. Details and a link are on the nor17vegan.com site. That's nor, N-O-O-R-X-V-I-I, vegan.com. Royce, Amari, thank you so much for being here tonight.
Hey, thank you for
thank
having
you for
us.
Having us.
Oh,
I was wondering
guys,
too,
I
before
do this,
we end,
so
guys, before we end, can we possibly have them come back? And I think to talk about what's going on with climate change and how veganism can,
yes,
like, you know, I just think that's a whole nother topic because this was more fashion.
Ooh,
and,
yeah.
But I would love, love, love to have them back and continue on with this conversation.
I would love that.
Hey,
you guys up for it?
Y'all got our phone number. Oh, yeah. Give us a code.
Yeah.
Okay. We are actually currently booked through June of 2020. But just like tonight, we might have a last-minute person who can't be here. Jennifer and I also do open mic nights. We try to plan at least one every month so that we can have people call in. I would love to have people call in and talk with you guys and ask questions because I know there have got to be people that have more questions than Jennifer and I do.
Yeah.
Although we have plenty, I think. So I can give you a rough idea of what our schedule is like, and we can go from there.
That works for
Sound
me.
Cool?
Yep.
Well, with that, I'm going to say good night and punch a button over here, and we'll see what happens. If it's right, it'll sound good.
Thanks again, you guys. Love you.
Thank you.
Love
you back.
Like the show tonight, let us know. Call 321-417-4309 or email mary@beunique.org to ask how you can sponsor the show. It's simple and doesn't have to cost much at all. Visit beunique.org for even more details. That's BUNEKE.org. Join the global world changers who already know how Be Unique helps bring together like-minded humans who are making the world a better place. Read the magazine and blog posts, watch our videos, listen to our podcast, and visit our social media from one location, and let's work together. Change tomorrow by finding solutions today. Visit BeUnique.org to learn more. That's BUNEKE.org.